Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Unselfish, adjective. Willing to put the needs or wishes of others before one's own. It is universally acknowledged that the good right person is someone who considers others' wishes before their own, who sacrifices what they want, who accommodates others' needs, if necessary, at the expense of their own. The sincere among us earnestly strive to meet this prescribed standard of goodness, despite the suffering it often entails. So when practice reflects our unselfish orientation as egocentric, it is understandable that we feel misunderstood, unappreciated, bewildered, or indignant. But if we read this note from Screwtape carefully, we can understand why unselfishness isn't the spiritual quality it is lauded to be. Note once again the admirable work of our philological arm in substituting the negative unselfishness for the enemy's positive charity. Thanks to this, you can from the very outset teach a person to surrender benefits, not that others may be happy in having them, but that he may be unselfish in foregoing them. That is a great point gained. Unselfishness, according to Screwtape, usually also contains the element of ego identity. Yes, there is sincerity. Yes, there is a genuine concern for another's well-being. But if we're honest, isn't there also the desire to preserve my identity as the good right person? Isn't it true that on occasion, attachment to being the good right person blinds me to what might be truly helpful to the other person? If the philological arm had not implanted in conditioned mind what it means to be unselfish, would sacrificing what I want need be necessary to ensure the happiness of another? And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hey, Bob.
just what Ashwini was reading there really brought it all back. But like, I've been working with this week, that like, there is this idea of like what it means to be unselfish, and that usually means leaving out this human being.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody but me.
You know.
That's the definition.
Yeah. And it's been really challenging for conditioning this week, because I keep looking at like, so what can I do, to be unselfish in the way that practice points to actually be here, be present, and then, be available essentially. Which is exactly mm-hmm. what I'm not when I'm in this belief that I'm actually being, unselfish.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but for me, that process has either a small or a large tinge of unhappiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
right, that element of self-sacrifice. So I'm trying to. I'm trying to be okay with meeting the standard of being the good, right person, even though everything about it feels terrible.
Right, right. And to me, it feels terrible because I've abandoned this human because, how do I even know what this human might need in that moment, because I'm not there for him.
That's right.
So
yeah.
if instead I'm willing to drop all that and just be here, in many ways it all just gets taken care of. There's no effort that's needed. There's no there's nothing that needs to be done. But if I'm here, I'm available to attend to everyone's needs.
That's right. That expression that we have, what's most compassionate for all, is how life
mm-hmm.
operates, right? Life doesn't have this, okay, well, you need to throw yourself on the sacrificial fire so that these other people can. It's never set up like that anywhere except in egocentric thinking.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen that even with that, that what's most compassionate for all, that conditioning will want me to take that and figure that out. What is most compassionate for all?
Uh-huh.
When actually the answer is, I don't need to figure that out. I just need to be here. Which can sound which can sound like, you know, because conditioning always frames that as like, well, then are you actually really making an effort here? Are you actually trying to do this?
Isn't that a cop-out, you know, really? Isn't that
exactly
a cop-out?
Yeah. Yeah. When my experience is that when my soul kind of, if there's any word, you know, like if I'm directing the attention just to being back toward here, all that, like I said before, all that gets worked out, and that anything that, you know, if there's a need with this human, if there's a need that I can offer out in the world, it'll come. You know, yeah. I don't need to figure anything out.
Yes, yes. It's not passive, is it? It's mm-hmm. actually, it's quite active, staying here, yeah. being here and staying here, and being open to what is being asked of us. We have to be really on
yeah.
our toes to be,
yeah.
To be for that. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's so
that's
good
great.
To see.
Thank
and,
you.
You know, the other, just quickly before I let you go, my teacher used to say, we are more a pain in the butt when we take offense than when we give offense. And and there's a parallel with this, you know, that to begin to realize what a pain we are when we are self-centeredly sacrificing, which I think Screwtape does, or C.S. Lewis, I guess we could say, does such a great job of making clear for us, right? So it presence really is a public service because it takes us out of the center of the universe. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to keep that with me this week. You know, presence is a public service. I love that.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
I love that, Sherry. Presence is a form of is public service. It's the social relief we talk about. Mm.
Yes, exactly. People can stop worrying about me.
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm. And here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sridevi.
Hey, Sridevi.
Hi. One thing that I've noticed in making the recording about being in the sphere of love is it's a resistance, but the way the resistance shows up is in the voices telling me that whatever recording I'm going to make is not going to be good enough, that I can't repeat the same things, I can't love the same things over and over. And when I was recording about reflecting on that, I was like, well, why can't I love the same things over and over? Why can't I always just be talking about all the things that I love? So it was actually just really interesting this week watching all of the conversation about just making a recording about love.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the when you said resistance, the resistance takes a particular shape. It takes the shape of the karma. Right? It just plugs the content into, you can't, if what we've got going is, I don't do something right, or I have to be the good, right person, or I have to do it right, then whatever we're doing, the content just gets plugged into that process equation. And so while you can't record about the same thing, it, whatever it is, right? And so to see it, to be aware of it, and to question it, why not? Because in the questioning of it, I actually realize that the experience of love has nothing to do with sameness or the same things or any of those things. It's just love. What we love is actually irrelevant. Being in love, we can be in love with everything.
Wow. Wow, I never had seen it that way. Yeah, that's so beautiful. And I will add, and I still did my recordings, I didn't listen to the voices, and what was actually really beautiful in doing the recordings was finding things of, I guess, being in love that never would have occurred to me in a kind of conditioned state. So I was sitting in my room a couple of days ago, and I'm making a recording, and I'm looking around, And I look outside the window and I'm like, oh, I love the light. I love the trees. And then it just dropped in. I was like, but I get to see those because of windows. I really love windows. And then I thought about windows are like one of the best things in the world because you get to see out of them. And I'd never thought about windows like that before. And so I just, I think just making those recordings and pushing past conditioning and just almost actually that recording was, I'm just going to see what's in front of me and I'm just going to look around and that's what I'm going to talk about. And what just drops in is just that love is always there and it's always right in front of us and we're surrounded by it if we just look.
Mm-hmm. And if we make the movement of doing the recording, because when I say I love the light, it's a mental statement. But when I'm recording from being in love, the experience of love is insight.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? So you could look at a window and say you love the window. But it's such a qualitatively different experience than going, I'm not listening to the voice, I'm going to pick up the recorder, and I'm going to actually look from love at what I love. And therefore, love sees things that conditioning never would see. But it sees it gives us the gift of that seeing in a way that we experience deeply the love of our depth.
Oh,
there's that wonder,
yeah.
And there's that, ooh, ah, wow, and there's a leading almost, right? I'm guided from looking through the windows. Oh, windows, oh, I can see through windows. I love windows. That's such a qualitatively different experience than saying, I love a window.
Yeah, 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 and just hearing you share that, it brought me back to that place of I felt it in my body. It wasn't a cerebral thing. It was something that was felt like within the bones of my being.
And arising from the depths of awareness as insight.
Yeah. Yeah. So wonderful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sridevi.
That was truly a wonderful conversation. Thank you both. And I want to go back to something that was at the beginning. It just you kind of said, and we went right on past, which is, that awareness that whatever arises gets plugged into, I think this is the way you said it, excuse me, gets plugged into the same karma.
Mm-hmm.
Or the same karma gets plugged into it. I don't know which way it was described, but that just really struck me, that we get so bamboozled because we think situations and circumstances are new and different. But when we realize that everything that happens in our lives gets plugged into the same karma or seen through the same karma, that's an important thing to consider. Because if I weren't conditioned to look at everything from the same perspective, I would be seeing something very different. And I think that's a possibility for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that the process of the process piece is the constant, but because we see the output of the content being plugged into the process, we never see that the process piece is constant.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know if anybody else was struck by that, but I hope we all get struck by it, because that's a... Why do I see everything the same way? Well, I'm looking through the same karma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's what with Sridevi, that realization that, oh, windows. Now that's seeing something that is not being seen through the same old karma. And suddenly, windows. Wow, I love windows. Windows are amazing things. And here we are in a completely different relationship with life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you both for that.
And here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hello, this is Edwin from San Rafael.
Jerry, did I lose you?
Hey, Edwin. Sorry, I am muted. I muted myself. Hi, Edwin.
Did you reach Nirvana for a second there?
an extended period of time. I only briefly touch into this plane of existence when required.
People have to talk to you.
Yeah, yeah. If somebody says something to me, then I'll get back here. Yeah. How about you? What's going on?
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm just a bit shaking because I decided to get into queue when I especially was not feeling perfectly cognizant, even though as I'm speaking, I seem coherent
mm-hmm.
enough.
Sound fine. So it could have been, Edwin, that there was perhaps an ego voice that was invested in you not getting in the queue and not speaking and hopefully making you afraid to do that.
Yes, the something bad is going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Don't do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just a lot's been, I've just been really grateful for this year long, particularly the figuring out mind and getting out of that more or less favorite channel of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's really being able to discern that mental masticating, chewing process is like I would when I'm showering, oh, I got to start thinking about that thing I'm going to do because that's going to be really helpful. And then I'm doing a walk. Let me just fill the mind with this thing called thinking about the thing, and then I'll be mm-hmm. ready for it.
Yeah.
So now that script is starting to go away quite nicely, it's like a whole new world.
Yes, it is. It we recognize it as the world as it is. Because I'm here, right? In those other situations, I'm not here. I'm walking down the street. I'm taking a shower. I'm whatever it is. The body is doing that, but the mind is off in all of these imaginary places that have no reality whatsoever. And the thing that you said that's so important is we have been taught to believe that not being here is preparation for being here.
Yeah, that's right. I love that.
Completely bizarre. Yeah.
We have been led astray.
We have indeed. And the thing, of course, that we can know is that nobody intentionally led us astray. That human beings have been led astray for as long as there have been human beings. And once we realize that we can be astray for as long as we want to, and it's always possible for us to be here. Then it all changes. It moves from being somehow we were fooled and made to suffer in ways that weren't all of that is true. But as we begin to wake up, we realize that the gift of being able to come home far outweighs the problems that we experience in being lost.
Yeah, it's interesting you use the word home because as you were saying astray, my mind likes to break down words. So like a stray cat, so like straying from home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then here we are. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Good job pushing that button.
Thanks.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Edwin. And here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Ashwini. This is Chris in North Carolina.
Hey, Chris.
Howdy. So just really enjoying these little five-minute respites over the course of the day. As usual, when we set alarms, it's just really nice to have those pauses and refresh, you know, get back to the moment.
Yes.
And so
pause and refresh.
Pause and refresh, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of things in doing that. Well, one is... you know, in first hearing the assignment about charity, I can just you know, hear the conditioned moan with that word, like it's just been, you know, it's in the tax code, charitable deduction, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's, as far as conditioning is concerned, it's really worn out its welcome, or there's just nothing there, which of course, mm-hmm. when that happens, I'm always suspicious. That's probably
the philological arm in action, right, Chris? That conditioning has taken over both charity, love, and unselfishness, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And so suspicious that that's where everything lies behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then in practicing with recording, and then just hanging out in that love for as long as possible, and then checking in. You know, I've never felt as charitable when I'm just in that place of presence.
Mm-hmm.
And
never felt as charitable as in that place of presence. I mean, it's the other line we heard this morning. Presence is public service. Because I project, right, Chris, that in love, I think Sherry said it recently, everything is included. There is no separation between me and the flower or the other person. And so it's not that non-separateness results in wanting to be of assistance.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, precisely. And then in that that sense of charity, almost immediately there's that sense of the charity that's coming back from life. And then in that openness, it just fills that openness with like you say, the ability to to assist life. That's not quite the right language, but to
return the gift.
Yeah, perfectly. Yeah, thank you. Return the gift. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that observation, Chris, because the charity that that Screwtape offers us is a sense of separation, where a difference in power, a lack of equality. That's that. Okay, I have something. I'm going to give it to you in order for me to feel better in some way. So that it's such a icky kind of transaction. But that it doesn't include the fact that I am given to, and I might want to be in relationship to what is giving to me. And then the proper response to being given to is gratitude and appreciation and reverence and respect. And that relationship with ourselves, right? It's not life is separate from me, but that relationship with ourselves and with life is such a different definition of charity.
Yeah, for sure.
We don't include ourselves. We include the largest self, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it really can be, of course, right? If I'm in love, then I can be in that place of taking care of life as life takes care of me, just pretty much the whole time.
Mm, yes. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That in that place, everything is taken care of.
Everything is taken care of.
I think it's Robin Wall Kimmerer. All flourishing is mutual.
Well, that's great. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Mm. Nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
You bet.
Gratitude wants to give.
Gratitude wants to give. Mm. Well, we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna in Home Firth in England.
Well, hello there.
Hello. Hi. It's lovely to be on the call. Really, I've so enjoyed listening to all of the callers this week. I really have. Just what everybody's had to say, I've enjoyed so much. And I've had the same experiences, you know, that people have been talking about, really. I'm overwhelmed by just everybody's contribution.
Yes. I think we're all in agreement that it is not unusual to have the experience of, this is really the best week. This is really, but this last week, get kind of, as we like to say, knock it out of the park, right? It just kind of, the insights were just over the top, just beyond brilliant. Seemed to be.
Yes.
Yeah, and to you. Yep.
Oh, absolutely. I just, I just want to talk about everything that people have said, and I've just sit back, obviously can't, and just so many lights are going off in my head. But I think, I guess that just overall, and I've been practicing, I mean, I've just loved that, you know, considering other wishes and my own, in mm-hmm. quotes. Mm-hmm. And so I've been practicing, I just have loved that as a definition of charity, and I've been practicing it with people and with objects as well. So I loved the windows, because I've been doing the same thing with, I just literally was practicing it with making my tea, or the family's tea, before the show, and, you know, the food and the utensils, and so the same with people. I just noticed that practicing this charity means that I act with care and gentleness, and that it creates connection. Whereas the unselfish, when I think about when I'm being unselfish, that mm-hmm. creates separation. Whereas mm-hmm. this method of creating, of acting, of behaving, well, the charity of disinterested love absolutely creates connection, and that's what mm-hmm. I've also got this week from listening to everybody. So
mm-hmm.
thank you so much.
I had this image as you were describing that, so I imagine you have tea with pretty much the same people on a daily basis, right?
Mm.
And it's pretty much the same utensils and the, you know, all the plates and the everything about it is pretty much the same. And then we go to the window place,
yes.
know, where suddenly I am aware of, yeah. And so everything just becomes alive as itself, right?
Oh.
And we realize, oh my gosh, there's that thing that has been just such a big part of my life that I have enjoyed so much without being aware of it at all. And so we can, you know, look around the kitchen, and, you know, with all of those things, and then the people walk in, mm-hmm. and we can have the same experience with them of the things that we just take for granted about them that really are the equivalent of the window, right? That brings so much joy and delight and comfort and well-being to our lives that we're kind of tricked into just taking for granted. And suddenly we see them with these new eyes, and everything is just bright and shiny. In love.
Yeah, because what you've just said has described my experience exactly. Everything becomes alive or more alive.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, depending on whether we consider it, I consider it to be inanimate or animate. And every moment is a new moment, and it's a whole new world, as was said earlier. It's just
yeah.
full. Life is absolutely full.
Yes, and we begin to have this this marvelous spiritual sense that animate and inanimate is an artificial distinction. That,
oh,
that
yes.
in fact,
yes.
it's made up, right? There's no such thing.
Yeah.
Because you know that everything is alive.
Yes, it is the case, because you only have to do the practice, and it happens instantly.
Yes.
Yeah.
which makes here so where we want to be, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. And
thank you. Thank you. Go happy.
Thank you. Go happy. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anna. Thank you. Thank you, and go happy, Sherry, with such a wonderful call. This year,
yes.
this week was the best week.
It really was the best week. All right. Thank you, Ashwini. And new assignment, huh, in a little bit.
Yes.
New wonderful week.
All right.
All right. Thank you.